can light that star in San Marcos. It's a Bobcat winner and a repeat Sunbelt Conference championship for the Bobcats.
Right down the middle, struck him out. As the Bobcats have knocked off the top-ranked team of the country in their house.
And welcome to another episode of the Stakes Up podcast. I'm your host, Brant Freeman. Again, always looking forward to talking up Texas State student athletes here on Stakes Up and get to know their stories a little bit more. And this week we're putting a focus on Texas State softball. The Bobcats are coming off one of the biggest wins in program history, defeating number 3 Texas Tech 3-0 Wednesday night, a team that played for the national championship a year ago. Came in 42-3, but the Bobcats now make sure they're 42-4. And a huge series coming up at home this week as well. Texas State taking on Southern Miss, as big as a win was over the Red Raiders. Some bigger tests lie ahead in terms of climbing the conference ladder. So talk to us more about Bobcat softball, is one of the stars in the team preseason, all Sunbelt Conference in her second year with the program, transferring in from Texas A&M, Keely Williams, who hits the top of the order for Texas State and platoons right field defensively, and has been one of the more consistent hitters for the Bobcats all year long, a big reason why she hits at the top of the order. So she joins us now on the podcast. Keely, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing really good, doing really well. And Keely, I imagine that you're on cloud 9 a bit right now as you and I talk and record this podcast. You're less than 24 hours out from that win against Texas Tech. It was a game that wasn't on the schedule up until about 2.5-3 weeks ago or so. So you have this big game coming into San Marcos, big-time opponent. It's nothing new. You know, the Bobcats have played Texas earlier in the year and Texas A&M and Clemson and Arkansas and Oklahoma State. But just how exciting was it to play in that game and win it the way that you did?
Oh, it was awesome. Like, I mean, we started off with good intentions. I mean, I know that we saw their rankings. They were ranked number 3 in the nation. And like you mentioned, they were in the championship last year. That's huge. That's amazing on their part. But at the same time for us, we didn't want to make it as big as it seemed, because making it bigger than what it seems makes the game harder on our end. And of course, we're considered the underdogs according to rankings and according to just history. So that really just took a lot of stress off of our shoulders and allowed us to just play freely and play, know that the competition is there, but we can compete with anybody, no matter what level. So I think we did a really good job. And I mean, obviously we got the win, so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, it's a team effort. This is a team game. Not one person wins it, but you really do have to tip your cap to Maddie Azua. That lineup, arguably one of the best ones in the country outside of Oklahoma, and she shut them out across 7 innings. Maybe the best performance she's ever had, considering the opposition. What did you make of Maddie's performance against Texas Tech?
Oh, she did an amazing job. We are – every one of us, staff, player, we're all extremely proud of her. And she just comes so far from, I mean, I've seen her since travel ball. I think we were 10 years old when I first saw her and even competed against her. And then fortunately enough, I'm now on the same side as her, so I don't have to face any of her nasty pitches unless we're at practice playing during scrimmages or just in general. But I'm glad she's on our side, and I'm glad she tore up every batter that came and faced her and did an amazing job. I'm super proud of her.
Now, Keely, you mentioned you're on the same side as Maddie Azua now. As I said at the top of the podcast, this is your second year of the program. You didn't start at Texas State, started at Texas A&M. You're not the only former Aggie that's turned Bobcat, wearing a better shade of maroon these days. You know, that being Ayanna Coleman, who came along with you last year, and now Harley Vestal this season. So what was it like for you to make this journey over from College Station to St. Marcus with Ayanna and now see Harley do the same thing?
I mean, it's really bittersweet because, I mean, unfortunately, like, the transfer portal is a thing, and it could be for better for worse, but my story was a little on the worse side. And, I mean, not to dwell too much on the past, but I'm I don't have any regrets, I will say. I mean, it's taught me a lot from what I had the first 2 years at A&M. I've learned so much. But at the same time, it wasn't what I was looking for and what the ideal softball college life in general, everything all in one was not what I was looking for at A&M. And I mean, I as I said, it was bittersweet, but now I'm at Texas State, and that process was it was pretty smooth and pretty easy. I mean, I found Texas State right off the bat. I mean, I had conversation, like one or two conversations with Coach Woodard, and I immediately fell in love. I don't think there were like a few, you know, that were trying to pull me this way or that way, but Texas State and Coach Woodard and the staff and the girls really just struck home for me, and I would say immediately. So with that being said, I feel like that also was the same or similar story for Ayanna Coleman and Harley Vestal, both coming from A&M and our stories, and then going to Texas State and finding our new home that we truly love. So I would say from a personal side and the student athlete side, everything has just finally come together, and I feel like we've finally been able to just play freely and play the game that we love. So I'm really blessed that Coach Woodard and all the rest of the staff and even just the whole culture here at Texas State has allowed that for us. So.
You know, you mentioned getting pulled in different directions. I understand that one of your suitors was the University of Texas. You know, it's a program that doesn't need much introduction. They won the national championship last year. Mike White was one of the great coaches the game has. But ultimately, you decided to come here. I don't know if your decision came down to the two schools, but certainly the proximity would say that, you know, you did choose between the two of them. So for you, why was Texas State a better fit than the University of Texas?
I would say most of it came down to I already did my homework, I would say. So, I mean, obviously the history with Texas and even last year, I mean, before I knew it, I was committing, or I had the decision to commit somewhere, but I didn't know the future held that Texas was going to win the championship the next year. So even if I had that in my ballpark and like understood that prior to committing, I still would choose Texas State. And I mean, everyone wants to go to the World Series. Everyone wants to win a national championship and be on the best team in the nation and all like have all of these successes. I would say at the same time for me, that's still one of my dreams. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like I've also had a lot of success and a lot of nationally and just high achieving awards that I've gotten. And especially with like at A&M, like we've gone to the regionals and we went to super regionals the second year in my sophomore year, and was playing, was leading off, was starting, all of these things. And like even within my travel ball career, all of these things, like I feel like I've grasped so much of like the highs and so much of just always striving for the highest of highest. I feel like even with that, going to Texas, that would have been what would always happen. But there's also a sense of like there's so much pressure. And I also would say like that's the other end of it that kind of drew me away from Texas. That pressure sometimes turned into a little bit of chaos and a little bit of stress. I think that would be the best word. But with Texas State, the thing is that we're still successful. I mentioned earlier, we can compete with anyone. And again, back to what I was saying with my, like doing my homework and doing history, I already knew the culture that Coach Woodard set and created, her standards, how much she strives for success. So it's like, you can have that at both places. It just depends on who you are surrounded by, I think is what came down to, I know what came down to my decision of like, who will bring me, bring out the best in me. And that's where I came down to Texas State.
You know, when it comes to the transfer portal, I've had a lot of conversations with coaches and other broadcast and analysts, and a lot of them are former coaches, so they have, you know, their take on it. But I don't know if I've had enough conversations with the student athletes themselves, those that have lived it. And you're gambling on yourself. You're leaving one place and hoping somebody else will take you. And that's not – that doesn't happen for everybody. It happens every year at every sport. Players go into the portal and wind up not finding a home. So you gambled on yourself doing that. For you, during that process of time, when you were in the portal, not knowing what was next, what was that experience like, and why was just simply going into the portal a good decision for you?
So it's funny you mention that, because I just remembered that I never would have imagined myself going into the portal. And I actually had a huge, just, I hate is a strong word, but I thought that the transfer portal was such like a joke. Like, I don't understand why people would go into it. And then I thought like people would just go into it just to like team hop or try to do something. But I didn't understand that there are true reasons why people go into the portal. And I feel like it's situations that many of us that have transferred to Texas State have endured. And for myself, like I mentioned, like there's for better, for worse. And I needed to get out of that situation. I needed to find the better version of myself, because I know I have it in me, and my potential is not here. I need it to grow somewhere else. So with that being said, once I understood that, I could see that the transfer portal was my best option. And when I finally did, it was scary. I mean, there was definitely a lot of tears, a lot of conversations. And honestly, once I entered the portal, there was already emails, messages, phone calls, in-person conversations, like left and right. And that was a stressful part, because it kind of took me back to my recruiting process. And I was one of the few that got recruited in eighth grade, which is crazy to say. I was 14 years old committing to A&M, but it brought me back to that time. And it was like, oh, like I see how stressful this is again as an adult now. And at the time, I fortunately was able to go to the Texas Lone Star League, which is a summer ball collegiate league. And it's up in Georgetown, Texas. And I was kind of at my like breaking point where I was just like, I feel like I'm going through the motions with softball and with just everything in general. That helped me. And just playing and being able to play freely. And then also at the time, I'm kind of getting the same types of recruitment I did in travel ball, when I was 14. And yeah, it led me to Texas State, and I'm super happy.
You have to forgive the dogs, by the way. I'm recording this podcast here at my house, and my daughter just came home, so they wanted to greet her. So, you know, Keely, I'm going to go back a little further, you know, in your softball career, and that being, you mentioned travel ball. And I want to talk, you know, about family with you a little bit. And you go to Bobcat games and you look out beyond left field, and it's a place to be to watch a game. It feels like the VIP section a little bit of Bobcat softball stadium, and, you know, the who's who, the fans are going to be out there. It's a lot of parents of the players, including yours, your father Rodney, your mom Rhonda, and your grandfather also goes out there as well. We see the Keely Williams t-shirts. We see the signs being held up, and all this is, you know, because of your family. And what I'm getting at here is that your dad Rodney was a coach at Judson, and he coached multiple sports for the Rockets. He was also, as I understand, your coach as well. So what was that experience like for you, getting to play for your dad, and now here he is in your college career supporting you, being at every game?
Oh, it's amazing. And I mean, not a lot of people get to have the opportunity to have their parents or their dad specifically coached them through majority of their career. And I mean, a lot of us, I feel like we've grown up being able to be coached by our dads in our younger, like, travel ball careers. But the high school part is harder because you have to be a high school coach or teacher. So, I mean, growing up, I've always just, he's always just coach dad or coach Will, I would say. But at the same time, though, like, he's still my dad and he's taught me everything I know. And it was really awesome as, like, a high school coach because he got to be the first base coach, and he would always help me with the behind the scenes of just hitting and, like, correcting my swing and getting me to where I am now. And it was kind of a weird transition for both of us because we never really experienced not being a coach player duo. It's always just been like that until I got to college. So it was a little bit, like I said, it was a little bit of transition, but I think we got it figured out, and he's learned how to be, like, still coach, but still, like, more dad, mm-hmm. and sit behind the scenes and, like, actually watch me play from outside of the field and not on the field with me. But for my mom, she's always just helped me too. She's always helped with, like, more of, like, the mental emotional side of things, and would always see both me and my dad duo on the field, and she's just glad that she finally can have someone else to cheer with and or stress out with, and have probably grab his shoulder when things are going tough and stressful. But yeah, I'm super glad that I'm lucky I had that opportunity to be coached by him for so many years.
Now, I want to get back to your mom here for a second, that being because their signs are held up out beyond the fence and left, and some of them are, you know, go Bobcats, eat them up, get your states up, you know, something very simple. And then there's some of those other signs that I don't think fans quite understand. Even me, having some insider knowledge, don't quite understand some of the signs. But what about the sugar cookies? I want you to explain that one to me.
Okay, so the sugar cookies is a reference to our time with the Navy SEALs. So during, we called it Hell Week, but our first couple weeks back in January, we got the amazing opportunity to work with a group of Navy SEALs. And we had to wake up, I believe, at 4 a.m. And we started, I think, at 4:30, maybe 5 o'clock, but I'm pretty sure it was 4:30 on the dot. And it was a couple hours of just wear and tear and challenging workouts with the Navy SEALs. And I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be the basic training / tryout test to get into or become a Navy SEAL. Long story short, none of us are qualified to be Navy SEALs. We were told at one time that because we didn't do a single, well, we had one person do a pull-up, but because the other 25 did not do a single pull-up, we were considered not athletic at all. So that was hard to hear, but if anything, it was less of a physical challenge and more of a mental challenge because we've already been a close-knit team from the fall, and we've known each other for a couple years or even just a few weeks, and we were just so close. So it came down to just the teamwork we had within each other and then the mental capacity that we had individually, and then less of physical, because there were still moments where we had to get it. We jumped into the Sewell, into the river, and had to do, we were kind of shoulder to shoulder or linked arms doing sit-ups in the river and making sure that our heads would dip in the water. We had to piggyback each other from Sewell to the volleyball beach courts over there. We also had to lift and run with two jerry cans down the street. We had to bear crawl. We had to do push-ups, sit-ups. What was the other thing? Oh, there, I'm pretty sure there was multiple videos that some of us posted on TikTok. You can actually see of us doing the actual workouts. And we would be on the field just like doing more bear crawls and getting hosed down by water. And like our last workout that we did or exercise, but we, I'm not specific on the wording or what it's called for the Navy SEAL specifically, but we had to, we were in partners and one person had to just hold on to their partner and be dragged. And so the other person would have to bear crawl and drag their person's body weight. And we would have to go, we started on the right field line and walked all the way to the Bobcat in center field and switched and went back. And that was, it was hard. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I can't imagine what our military does on a day-to-day basis. And we only had a 2-hour spit of it. So it's just insane what they do, but also for our capabilities, I'm just super proud that we had that mental capacity to get it done. And at times it seemed fun too, which was kind of weird for us, but we got it done and it was just insane.
So, wow. I mean, that's a lot there, you know, in terms of the training that you guys went through, but again, so sugar cookies, the term itself.
Oh yes. So yeah. Sorry. I went on about,
no, hey, no, that was all good stuff there, Keely. Yeah.
That was insane. We're like super proud of that. And not a lot of people know about it. And we just always like, when we get that opportunity to talk about it, we just go on and on. So I'm sorry about that. But specifically when I mentioned we had to piggyback each other, when we got to the beach volleyball courts, that's when we were called sugar cookies. Cause we, when we got in the river, we got completely soaked and we're underwater at one point, piggybacked over to the volleyball courts and then rolled in the sand. So we were told before we got into the sand, all right, let's become sugar cookies. We're looking around, who's going to be sugar cookies? And are we going to get dessert soon? Like, I hope this is done. And everyone's like, yeah, we're done here. And then the guys were like, nope, get in there. So it was funny. I wish there was video of this because some girls were just like, ugh, throwing it on there, trying to like a little bit. And at one point, one of the Navy SEALs guys goes, if I see one single spot or 1 inch of no sand and it's completely dry or completely clean, you're going to, I forgot what the punishment was, but it was something really bad. I am freaked out and I was laying on my stomach and scooped all the sand and was throwing it and scooping up over my body. And they love that. I don't think they've ever, like, I guess the Navy SEALs have never seen that. And I was just like, y'all told me one thing, I'm not getting in trouble. And we were getting on every girl's, cause it was like accountability part. We were getting on everybody. If you didn't have sand, we're either going to do it for you and throw some sand on top of you. So that was the funny part, but.
So let's turn the page to something a little more lighthearted, you know, from your training with the Navy SEALs to the fact that when it comes to the music being played at the stadium during warmups, during pregame, the music selection is put together by you and you only, as I understand it. So how did that come to be and how do you go about making your music choices?
So I'm kind of a little biased because my first thing I always do is I try to ask, or I not try, I do ask everybody, hey, what song do you like specifically? Or what are some ideas that you like? And then I'll put it into this playlist. Cause I think we had a little bit of an issue cause there were some songs that we were just like, and we have a younger crowd. I'm a senior, there's freshmen that I can't imagine what year, I mean, 2004, anything after that seems so young. Like
that's, you have no idea, Keely. Yeah. I'm 45 years old. 2004, I was 23.
Wow. I would have never guessed that. but yeah, but like I said, like I'm 22 years old and I still listen to the 2000s and 2010s playlist hits. So that's kind of my genre that I like. And I like pop, country. I'm very, very all around with my music choices. So that's why, like, I feel like I do a good job of trying to pick selective music. But again, like, I think we're a different generation where we were listening to quote unquote, this is not my quote, but quote unquote old music. So it's just like, okay, I'll take the reins. I'll take the blame if there's even bad music too. But sometimes we want to listen to country music, but sometimes those songs are just not what's going to get us going, what's going to get us pumped up. So we do try to change it a little bit, try to change different songs, and even try to throw in some songs that maybe the crowd and our fans would like, because they're also part of our team. Everyone that comes to our games is part of our team. It's not just the 25 of us on the roster and the coaches and the staff. It's everyone that comes together is what helps us. So I try to throw in that. There's a few songs that even Coach Scott likes to listen to from the 80s. So just a good mixture of everything.
So in addition to, you know, music being a fun part of the game, you know, whether that be pregame music or walk-up music of everybody, players every year when they get on base, usually it's doubles. You know, I say doubles. It can be triples too, and certainly home runs. You don't see it as much as singles. But the celebrations on base, the way you look back at the dugout, you know, and do something with your hands or you know, a little dance. What is it? Tell me about what it is this year and why.
So there was a little bit of learning curve last year because I didn't really know what to do on certain hits, or like whenever you get a base hit or get an extra base hit. So I wasn't really sure. And then over time I learned that we do our states up at first base, and then actually pretty much all of them were states up. And being that, like, I came from a different school, there was a little bit, like, I still brought something else from my old school. And one of that was having different celebrations. Because over time, like, I'm all for repping the Texas State and throwing the hands up. But at the same time, it kind of gets a little old. But we talked about it, and we said that at first base we'll do states up, and then when we get a double, because that's even more of a celebration, that's two bases that you got to, we try to do like different things. And it's funny because like there's not an exact celebration that we have, we just try and change it up every day. And then a triple is a stanky leg, because that's awesome. And then home runs, I mean, home run is a home run. You get to run and touch all four bases. And I think my last one, at UTSA, I touched all four. And then whenever I was running from third, I threw my hands up and was just screaming. I was like, that's the celebration I could give you. But I mean, we're all together when we get the celebration. So it's not really just like I get to celebrate. It's we all get to celebrate. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, just whatever comes to mind at this point. We tried to steal some of like baseballs, but baseball, they have their own celebrations. I think ours is better. So
I think I would agree with you on that too, by the way. So you mentioned your homer at UTSA. That was also the game that Coach Woodard got number 900. For you to have been a part of that, and you've gotten to know Coach Woodard intimately well, what did it mean for you to be a part of that, and how did you guys celebrate?
Well, being a part of it, like, I mean, I didn't want to try and do too much because, I mean, we need to just play our game. And I think we, like I said, we didn't want to do too much. I think we also kind of stressed about not getting her 900th win at home, because
Marshall,
yeah. So that series, I mean, we were kind of upset because we didn't kind of get up to our expectations and what we know, like our game. And honestly, like, no offense to Marshall, they're extremely good, but I feel like we should have swept them. Like, I think every game we had in our ballpark, and we just kind of lost it those last two. So But that being said, like, I think that stress kind of carried over at the beginning of the game to UTSA, and we ended up having a little bit of a team like talk, more just like it was upbeat and just uplifting and just being comfortable with if anything happens, whatever goes our way, like, just let it happen. And I think that was like a good like refresher and just a good like deep breath for us. And I mean, I had to start off that game with leading off. I didn't even have time to kind of get in my mojo on defense because we were visitors, and I just kind of trusted in Coach Woodard and what she had to say, and it helped. I mean, got that home run, and that's why I threw my hands up and I was telling you about that. Just like, I was so happy because it's not about me, it's about all of us, and specifically for Coach Woodard getting her that win. And then when we got to celebrate, we surprised her with a waterfall of Gatorade and water. And we had a bat for her. I believe we had different framed photos for her and some cookies and cupcakes. So it was finally time to celebrate. She's been waiting a couple days too long, and I think it was the best way to win for us and for her. So.
Kaylee, before we wrap things up here, you know, this is your final season at Texas State, so I'm sure you've already put some thought into what's next. But we haven't heard it yet. So for you, what is after the season?
Well, as of right now, it's more just finishing up my major. I have one more semester left. And right now, like with my schedule right now, no one doesn't realize, but I don't have any off days. I go from 6:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Monday, and then Tuesdays, same thing, and go to practice, and I get done around this time. And actually today was my last day at the school, at the elementary, and I don't know if I mentioned I'm an education major, so my future aspirations and goals is to be a teacher. I will say teacher, and then try for further down the road probably do more of a counseling route. But people always ask, like, are you gonna be a coach, are you gonna do this and that? I'm like, that's the education route is definitely in our blood, but the coaching route is in every one of my families. It just happens. It's just natural for us. So that's the funny part, because I want to get away from that. I've already done a bunch of coaching and also just being a player myself. So I'm trying to get away from that part first, because I want to experience what it's like inside a classroom. Mm-hmm. And plus, I got a little sister. She's 12 years old. She's already deep into the travel ball world and softball world. So I already know that's going to happen literally next year. But yeah, just really just trying to finish it out and start the real world possibly soon. And even if there's more softball to come, I'm grateful for that too. So.
Well, Kaylee, this has been great stuff. I've had a chance to follow your career now for almost two seasons. It's a little bit different setting, you know, as opposed to calling your games, to having a one-on-one conversation with you. So great to get the insights, and best of luck to you and your team the rest of the season. Looking forward to this weekend against Southern Miss.
Oh, yeah, I'm super excited. Thank you for reaching out and chatting with me today.
Of course. That again, Kaylee Williams of Texas State Softball, coming off their big win against Texas Tech, and a huge series coming up in Sun Belt play this weekend against the Golden Eagles. That's going to wrap up the States Up podcast for this week. For Kaylee Williams, I'm Brian Freeman, reminding you to keep your states up, and we'll see you next time.